This is Lynn Fraser. I'm here today with the Kilby Center, the Radical Recovery Summit, and I'm talking with Dr. Rob Weiss, who's a therapist, author, and addiction specialist around intimacy and sex addiction. And I've asked him to come today just to talk about COVID-19, what's happening. There's so much more intensity to a lot of our old patterns, addictions. So what would you like to kind of share with people around what's going on right now?
Well, Lynn, I really appreciate your asking me. And you know, this is a very difficult one for people who have intimacy disorders like sex addiction, love addiction, porn problems, because the healing for us is about connection. You know, the healing, because we have a disease of disconnection, you know, seeking sex or romance with unavailable people or strangers, or it's all about not really being connected in a deep and meaningful way. And so I do think that rather than trying to avoid the addiction, I always feel like people who white knuckle or say, I'm not going to do something, they're not always at their best. But what can you invest in now that is enjoyable, that brings you pleasure, that is fun, that you can be accountable to online? I know in the sex addiction world, our biggest triggers are unstructured time alone and travel. And the reason for that is both of those things seem to bring up a lot of anxiety for us about being alone and aloneness. And here we are having to be isolated, home alone, many of us without any place to go or any plans. So it is really true what they say, the more you can structure your day, because that part is about being accountable to yourself. So breakfast, out of bed, wearing clothes, took a shower. You know, I know the game of, well, I'll get up in my pajamas and it'll be 7 p.m. and I'm still in my pajamas. It's not, maybe once in a while that's fun, but not for the everyday here. You see, I'm wearing work clothes. And so recovery for sex and love addicts is all about connection to people who will hold you accountable and who know you. So whoever you can deeply broaden your relationship with, that's a meaningful thing. The more communities you can connect with. Don't forget, if you're a sexual love addict, every one of the 12-step meetings has meetings online. There's meetings on in the rooms. You can find meetings there. There are support groups everywhere. I think, Lynn, the challenging thing is this disconnection, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's hard enough for addicts. Like, we don't want to reach out. We'd rather handle it on our own. And now we're in a situation where it's very easy to not reach out and to take control back of our lives. So here's a good suggestion to anyone who's sort of got a handle on this to some degree. I know for my recovery, I never made any decisions around sex that I didn't ask a sponsor about. So if you're thinking about doing something sexual online with yourself in whatever way, run it past somebody else who's in recovery. Don't make that decision on your own. By the way, I used to work with my sponsees. You can have all the sex you want, all the bad partners, but first you have to go through me. And by the time we were done, 9 times out of 10, they were like, oh yeah, I remember now why I don't want to do this. But remember that our own heads fool us. And we have a disease of denial, all us addicts, and we are very capable of talking ourselves into things that really aren't true or good for us. And the way to stay out of that is through the connection with other healthy people, whether that's 12-step, therapy, groups, you know, and as many as you can. Again, if you know there are 3 meetings a week that you like, put them on your schedule and make sure they're there. I keep seeing the same people in my meetings every week when I'm online, and that begins to become a community for me. Here's the real last thing I'll say, Lynn, is I know as an addict, and I think every sexual love addict in particular, we really just want someone to rescue us and take care of us and make everything okay. That's really what we want. And in this circumstance, you know, I can understand, gosh, how can I make myself feel better? We're not people who can make ourselves feel better very often in day-to-day life. So I would say relax. Don't expect yourself to be feeling very good, because none of us are. Sometimes our own expectations of how we're supposed to handle things are harder than how we actually might handle them. And again, connection. I'm feeling crazy. Can I call someone else? They feel crazy too. I feel less alone. Doesn't mean I feel less crazy, but I feel less alone. And that grounds us. That grounds us in connection and why we're here. So those are a few things that come to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You were smiling, Lynn. Did you like some of those things?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, you know, there's so much intensity and so much of a draw now to, I don't like what I'm feeling. I'm feeling powerless. I'm not sure what's going to happen. How many months and years are we going to have to isolate? And so our old patterns tend to come up, whether that's sex addiction or alcohol or food or whatever it is, right?
Just to feel better.
Just to feel better. Yeah. So what would you say about shame?
Well, shame you know, I don't have any different lines about shame than anyone else. Whether you talk to John Bradshaw or did, or talk to Brené Brown, you know, at the other end, it's all the same. Shame is useless. Shame is a feeling of worthlessness and self-pity that on some level, I can even say it's a little self-indulgent, because when we're in that place of I'm so horrible, I'm so awful, no one can love me, it's still all about us and not about how is that other person out there feeling and what can I do for them. And so one of the ways to get out of shame is to look to see what you can do to help others, because you will always feel better about yourself if you're supporting someone else. And anybody, by the way, can grab a couple of people together and start a support group every week. I don't know if you knew this, Lynn, but I'm meeting with, this is really true, 60 people from my high school class. We meet every weekend and we talk because we're really good friends and love each other. We're on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is great because one person writes and then you can see what happened and then other people write. And you can see everything that came during the day. So here's an idea. Connect your communities. People you went to high school with, people you went to college with, people you know from an old job, and bring them together online. Sorry, I got distracted from shame. I know what shame's like. I've been there, that place of I just don't think anyone would love me and I'm not worthwhile and I ruin everything. And And there, what I've learned from therapy, my own, is that there's no there. Like, that's a place of what's wrong with me? I'm terrible. There's no answers to those questions because they're just not true. The questions are not about how awful I am. It's how can I do it better? How can I do it differently? Rather than what's wrong with me? Because I can't fix it. If you're just a deeply broken, horrible person, which most addicts I know aren't, I can't fix that. But if you've done deeply horrible, terrible things, but you really have good intent in your heart, I can fix that. And that's right. The difference, because guilt is something we want. I want to feel guilty about yelling at someone or doing something wrong, because that tells me to go correct it. And that's good information. But when that turns into I'm useless and don't deserve attention, or, you know, when I make myself wrong, I can't learn from that. And I'll say one more thing about that. Part of growing up as growing out of addiction is about making a lot of mistakes and being able to learn from them. And one of the problems of being an addict is we really struggle to not want anybody to know that we make mistakes and do anything wrong. And unfortunately, you can't learn and grow unless you make mistakes and learn from them. So I guess the biggest gift I want to give everyone is to be more forgiving of yourself. I don't think anyone is going to do this time perfectly. I know I spent 3 or 4 days in bed with ice cream and that worked for me. Just try not to do anything that will lead you to hating yourself or hurting another person. You know, none of us is going to get through this perfectly. Hopefully your sobriety is intact, but even if you're struggling, be kind, you know, be kind to yourself and keep reaching out. That's what I think.
Well, and you work with an intimacy disorder, and the biggest disconnection that many of us have is from ourselves. So to be kind with ourselves is to connect back with ourselves. And that has to be really healing, especially right now when we're so distant from other people physically.
Well, you know, Lynn, I don't know, but I think it's important to do things that, I don't know how to say this. I didn't realize how much I missed certain things until they were gone. And yeah. I never even realized I missed them until I returned to them. For example, I went to the grocery store this week. I'm the designated shopper. And I realized how much I loved being in my car with the rock and roll blaring and singing at the top of my lungs, because I do that 3 times a week when I'm driving to work. But now I haven't been in my car in weeks, and I can't tell you how great it was to get in my car and sing at the top of my lungs. I've actually seen people on the street pulled over listening to music, you know, because they can get out of their environment, do something they like. They may not go further than their driveway, but they're doing it in a different environment, having fun. And you know, and I can invite you, Lynn. We can listen to music together in the car if I wanted to. So there are little things that you used to do that maybe you can create a little bit of them to make yourself feel good. Nothing wrong with shopping for a good sale online. Just, you know, don't spend too much.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Now, you are very skilled at online groups. You've been doing them for a long time. So do you want to mention a few places where people could find some of those groups?
Sure. Just in general, 12-step. There's a wonderful, not my program, but a wonderful program called intherooms.com. And the reason I love it is they're approved by AA and NA and all those groups. So they're actually holding meetings in their server, which means that there are people from Saudi Arabia and Japan and New York, and they're all coming to these meetings, AA, NAC, all of them, and they're collecting in these groups. And it's pure 12-step once you walk in that room. And so I like the fact that they've collected a bunch of different programs, and you can pop into different meetings, and then there's some educational stuff. So that's in therooms.com. There's also a site called sexandrelationshiphealing.com. That's one I'm also involved with. And on that site, on sex and relationship healing, there are groups for weekly groups, all free, for sex addicts, love addicts, male and female, partners, male and female. What I've gotten is about 14 or 15 therapists to volunteer their time. So if you are an addict and you want support, it's free. We give it all away. I give 14 groups away for free a week. Because I know all of you don't have resources. Not all of you could get to therapy. Not all of you will get to a church basement to go to a meeting. So we have moderated groups on sex and relationship healing every week, and you can stop at any time, and we will keep you safe because therapists are looking out for you.
Right. Awesome.
Wow. I'll say a couple other things real quick. I have a podcast. It's really quite popular. Just to say it, a vanity podcast gets about 10 to 15,000 downloads if you can get every friend you ever got to listen to your podcast. We have 400,000 downloads. We're the number one podcast for sexuality in the nation in the United States this week. So I've got a lot of really wonderful therapists like Sue Johnson and Stan Tatkin and Harville Hendricks and all these wonderful people that I've known for years who are willing to give their time and talk about addiction recovery, infidelity. So Sex, Love, and Addiction is the name of the podcast. And that can pass a lot of time because there's really interesting people, and you'll never be bored hearing people, I think, talk about what makes them passionate. So that's a few things. If you want me, I'm rob@seekingintegrity.com. You can always write a note. I'm really good for referrals for sex and love addiction. I know pretty much all the good folks in the country. If people are looking for treatment, I know where good places for that. So feel free to write me a note. I will always make sure it gets answered in one way or the other. rob@seekingintegrity.com.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm going to go, whatever the next thing is, I'm not sure, but I'm going to go look at my schedule and find out because it's on there. And thanks so much, Lynn, for asking me. We got to have fun and connect and enjoy each other during these times. You know, we got to grab what we can. So thank you for this. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it too.
The Killaby Center for Recovery is reaching out to some of the people we've interviewed for the Radical Recovery Summit. We're asking, how can you support people that are struggling during the COVID-19 pandemic? There is a range of programs and support that people are offering, as well as ways to frame this. What is it that's happening inside of you during this time? Come to radicalrecoverysummit.com to click right through to the interviews.